Hello, welcome to the Max Show. We're a bit delayed. I do apologise to those people who've turned up in the chat room and patiently sat waiting. However, the traffic around here is absolutely monstrous. Muller got delayed. He didn't get here till 2:45. I didn't get here till 4:00. And some idiot has done something on the motorway. I just want to thank that person personally. I hope he's still alive. But thank you for blocking the local motorway network around my studio. Joining me, fantastic bunch. It's only two of us. We've had Chuck's dropped out because he's got a bit of an emergency at work's come in. So he's a bit stuffed. Patrice has pulled a meeting in 45 minutes, so he can't come. Doc, well, who knows, as every week. But he actually turned up last week when we didn't do a show, so I'd like to give a formal apology to Doc for making him waste his shower time. And Brett's had to pull out, so it's just the three of us. Just us chickens. Joining me, Jeff. How the bloody hell are you, mate?
I'm doing great. And is it inappropriate to say I'm really excited about our three-way today?
No, because that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Let's not dress it up any other way. It is without doubt a three-way. What have you been doing, girl boy?
I've been trying to make more time to go out and play.
Okay.
Just to get outside.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. It probably doesn't sound that exciting, but I live in a beautiful place where I can literally walk a couple blocks and be in the mountains.
Yeah.
And I need to be taking advantage of that more often. So that's what I'm doing.
Damn right. Absolutely. Good on you, mates. Glad to hear it. Joining me also on webcam in the studio, we got Muller. How the devil are you, mate?
Hello.
You were stuck in all that crap as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I come a slightly different way from you, but it still was quite bad. And I went around some side roads to get round the front of the industrial estate.
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. But a sad necessity, it would seem, of what's gone on. Some have happened. We don't know what, but these two boys will be joining me. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. Oh, aye, something's happened there. What's happened there? It's all moved. I don't know why it's all moved. I hate doing this show. Everything changes every week. Oh, no, that's not it. That's not it.
But, the consistent part is you never know who's really showing up.
No, the consistent part is the twat that's driving. That's really kind of it. So, or not driving, as the case may be in this case.
The guy behind the wheel. Doesn't imply you're driving, but you could be.
There we go. The guy behind the metaphoric wheel that's not here. It's like the guy behind the stream deck. That's it. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. The Apple Watch has saved a bloke from a fall in Norway. We were joking and talking before, and I said, that's it now, it's official. The Apple Watch has become Lassie. It makes a noise and it barks, and then you go, look, I think it wants us to follow it.
What's that, Siri? Jimmy stuck in a well?
Oh, mate. But talking of watches and cool stuff, because we've had a long conversation, haven't we, about the fact that the Samsung watch looks really pretty good. It looks excellent, in fact, and I'm seriously thinking about getting one. But there's been a leak come out, and this is like, oh, I was just about to buy that, and it looks like there might be another one. Samsung has managed to leak through its own application, as well on the Google Play Store, has leaked its own line of wearables. So there is a Nike-esque kind of Fitbit type thing coming. There is a 40mm watch, which is a lot smaller than the 42 and 46 you can currently get in the Galaxy Watch. So that might addition to the line rather than replacing. And more importantly, there are some Galaxy Buds coming, which are going to be a direct kind of attack towards the old AirPods thing. Now, do AirPods, will an AirPod bind with a Samsung? Are they just genuinely Bluetooth, or they're not Apple only, are they?
No, there's a button on the back of the battery case. You just have to press that and it'll bind with anything.
It goes into pairing mode. The difference, or what sets AirPods apart, is not Bluetooth. It's that Apple added in their own automatic pairing protocol for their own products.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just Bluetooth.
Yeah. So what do you think of these products? Have you had a look at them? Because I've got to say, they look pretty sexy, and they would do, I'm sure, on any launch promotional stuff. But it does look, the watch looks very interesting, especially that swirl on the front, because that's very Apple pairing mode, isn't it? When you put your phone over it and that kind of stuff. Oh,
totally. Okay, I look at this stuff, and from the images, I'm thinking, okay, this looks kind of cool. But I have to temper that with the knowledge that Samsung has a track record of not doing so great with their software and their interfaces. I mean, they do stuff that's fine, but they can also really mess up their interfaces.
In terms of looks, they've kicked it, haven't they? I mean, the current Galaxy Watch looks significantly better than any iWatch, the Apple Watch at all.
I really like how that watch looks. Yes. I am with you right there. And I like that that it's a 40 millimeter watch. I've never been a huge watch fan, and yet I'm wearing an Apple Watch right now. So smaller is better for me because it's less noticeable and less obtrusive.
Yeah.
So if I were to consider getting one of these Samsung watches, now that there's a 40 millimeter option, it would be more plausible for me.
So iPhone Apple Watch is 38 and 42, is it not?
It's now 40 and 44. Is that right? But the bodies didn't change size, so it's still like the 38 and the 42.
So I've got my tag on here because I'm going back to wearing my old analog watch, and that is 38 millimeters across. So the Galaxy Watch is 42 or 46 millimeters as it currently stands, and the new one that's talking about coming is down to 40. I hope it's not replacing, because I think there is a room for a bigger watch. I always found my tag to be a little bit small, I have to say. What about the Fitbit kind of thing? Because, I mean, that's pretty low-level technology change, isn't it? I mean, it's the Fitbit is a well-established product. The form factor is well-established in multiple formats, and you would have expected the technology to perform in that. That's going to be a direct price comparison one-to-one war, is it not? It's not going to be based on functionality particularly, because I can't see that in the form factor that you're seeing on the picture here, it can't be doing a great deal more than the old Band 2 did and that kind of stuff.
I think they're really smart for making this product. And I think Apple is missing out on an opportunity here, because that smaller form factor, lower price point fitness tracker is really popular. If it wasn't, Fitbit wouldn't be doing so well, even with their siloed ecosystem, because they are very siloed. So of course Samsung's being smart, they're hopping into that space. Why isn't Apple doing that too?
Are you saying that Apple should be releasing a Fitbit form factor then?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, okay.
I think that there's a whole market of people out there that would love to have something that has tight integration with HealthKit in a Fitbit type form factor with those type of functions. So strip out all the other smartwatch stuff, have it do the fitness tracking, and then have it display notifications like, hey, incoming call, whatever. And then leave it at that and price it in line with what Fitbit is doing. And I think Apple, excuse me, could just take a huge chunk out of the Fitbit market.
That would kill Fitbit. Who owns Fitbit? Fitbit?
I don't remember. I think Fitbit is privately held.
Yeah. Who owns Fitbit? John Fitbit.
I'll look it up.
Who owns Fitbit? And then we find out it's Apple anyway.
That would be funny.
That would be funny. They own Nike, don't they?
It's owned by Fitbit.
Fitbit's its own corporation still.
Russell's 2000.
You know, that would be such a Starbucks move for Apple if they bought Fitbit and then just left it as it is. Starbucks has done this thing where they've bought smaller coffee chains and don't change the name or anything, because there's a lot of people like anything but Starbucks. I'm going to go to this smaller chain.
Yeah.
And it's actually a chain that Starbucks owns.
And they've started stocking Starbucks coffee, brand coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Apple buys Fitbit, leaves it as it is, doesn't tell anyone. People buy Fitbit because they don't want to buy Apple, and Apple wins.
But Apple haven't influenced that then at that point. It's not like they've got Apple parts in there or Apple processors and that kind of stuff. And I think they'd find that hard to keep that out of the press domain as well, wouldn't they? Because the press the press would release that, whereas no one's going to actually go and do chemical testing on the blend of coffee that Mr. and Mrs. Smith's Coffee House is showing, even though they're owned by Starbucks.
Yeah. People love digging into anything to figure out where Apple's ties are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Apple do need some cheaper products. So, I mean, not everyone wants to pay £400 for an Apple Watch. It does more than what some people want. Some people only just want a fitness tracker.
Well, Sharon went to my wife went to the local Tesco's last night, and she said that people, and she didn't clock what was happening. She said there was a big queue by the meat counter. I was like, what was that for? She said, well, I didn't clock it until I got down there. But people were queuing for the end of day food that was going to be sold off. And they were when they saw there was a queue, they'd started running down the aisles to get it. And I'm kind of like, well, food has gone up in this country, but it's not horrifically priced. People are just genuinely going for a bargain, and that, you know, people are sales fever, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But Greggs have put up their coffee and roll thing, their promotion, and they blame Brexit. But all of the products either come from the UK or from overseas outside of the EU. But they still said it's Brexit that's the issue. There's a lot of profiteering going on at the moment using Brexit to leverage the market. So exactly what Muller's saying there. If you've got a keenly priced product, now's the time to release it in Britain and say clean up, because the market is being leveraged by existing companies on the premise of Brexit being a cost imperative, which it largely isn't, unless you just talk about the straight pound for dollar exchange rate being a little bit worse than it should be. But you'd clean up. You'd absolutely clean up in the UK at the moment with proper priced products.
I bet Apple would. I would be really surprised to see it happen now in line with the Brexit thing. And the Brexit part wouldn't have any bearing on it. If you look at the iPod, you can see Apple's MO for this portable product thing. What they do is they start at the high end. And when they reach whatever predetermined saturation point they have for that product, then they come out with a lower tier, lower price point. So fewer features, maybe a slightly modified form factor, but definitely a lower price point. When they reach whatever saturation milestone they've set for that, then they come out with the lower price point again. So I can totally see an Apple fitness tracker coming out that is more like a Fitbit form factor.
Yeah.
But I don't think Apple is close to hitting that Apple Watch saturation point yet.
About the AirPod rumors, though, about they're going to have more sensors in them that are going to be health related. I was looking for the...
You could do pulse from the ear dead easy.
It's going to do a lot more than that. I can't see the article I found the other day.
I did a search a little while. A week or two ago now. Michael Johnston and I were having a discussion about the sensors on the iOS show. And so while we were doing the show, I just started doing Google searches on companies with in-ear health and fitness sensor patents. And I found this company that has a patent that sounds perfect. It's sensors designed to fit in a small device in your ear. And so, yeah, so it does like temperature, it can do your pulse, and they say it can do respiration monitoring, and they've designed this so that at some point it could be used for more, so it could even be used for some sort of brain activity monitoring, but they didn't elaborate on that. So I've been wondering, is there a chance that we could find out that Apple has some sort of partnership with this company that designed and patented this this in-ear sensor stuff?
Could be. Most definitely could be. Apple has bought the firm Data Tiger. It's a UK marketing startup, and it advertises that it is used as an online tool for importing data and setting up workflows in minutes, with all of your data living in the cloud. The website for Data Tiger is just blank at the moment. There's nothing on there, although there is a LinkedIn page that's got a bit of information on it. Apple's not confirmed the sale. Apparently it went through in December, but I'm just wondering what the process is. They're a digital marketing firm, but you would have thought that Apple would have its own digital marketing. Have they got an algorithm or something like that Apple's been desperate to get their hands on, or... is it going to come back? Is it going to be just absorbed?
My guess, and of course, this is such a well-educated guess, because I've read this story just shortly before you started talking about it. So clearly I know what I'm talking about now. I think that Apple wants to have more effective direct email marketing to their customers. And I think this company has created tools that Apple feels will serve their purpose well. And I think if you're also looking at where Apple's going with like their streaming content, maybe this is a way to enhance the way they're going to market their TV shows and movies to their subscribers or potential subscribers.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It's the media stuff, isn't it? I can't see any other reason for it, but the thing is, the service that Data Tiger is a customer-focused service. So they're looking for people out on the web to give them their data. If they've got an algorithm, Apple could be that customer quite easily. Or that's what I don't get, is that if you're utilizing that service to then attack to people, then yes, you could buy the algorithm or you could buy the process from them. You wouldn't have to buy the company in its entirety. And it's gone back to the group of the company as well, not just Data Tiger, but the company that owns it. Just seems like a bit of a sledgehammer to crack a walnut.
Well, it's also a really great way to keep anyone else from using this technology.
Yeah, okay. Yes, that's the point. It's a shame, though, if Data Tiger's got a groundbreaking thing that small business users could use, and that now is not available because Apple's just clawed it in. I think that's very anti-competitive, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is. If there weren't other companies that were creating products to help small businesses in similar ways, even if it's not as effective, then I'd be really concerned, because that would feel very much like Microsoft from the 1990s.
Yeah, big conglomerate crushing small conglomerates. Yeah.
Yeah, just buying companies to shut them down, and yeah.
Yeah.
No, so good. Apple better use this technology. I think they will.
Well, apparently they're going to use it for their streaming services and media services, and there's going to be an event on the 25th of March to launch the media stuff, which I've got to say, if we don't cover that, I won't be losing any sleep. And if I did cover it, I'd probably take the piss and we'd lose loads of listeners, because they go, oh, you're just an Apple hater. It doesn't fill me with great excitement, because Apple hasn't released anything yet of any media value that makes me want to watch it.
Well, that's very true. But the content that Apple has released so far is all content that was created or at least set up before they hired the people that actually know how to do this stuff. So
yeah, I thought the Octavia Spencer series that they were doing is probably going to be the acid test. That's the one where you go, you either cracked it or you've screwed it.
Yeah. And I think the way they handle the sci-fi shows that they have coming, that's going to be really important too, because the whole sci-fi drama adventure series thing, I mean, that's big right now. So if Apple doesn't get that right, then they immediately lose a lot of people. And yeah, the Octavia Spencer show, that's binary. It's either going to be killer or everyone's going to hate it. But we're getting close to potential start dates or premiere dates for shows, because, you know, it takes a long time to go from concept to airing a show. Yeah. I mean, you can spend 3 years easy, and we're far enough into this process now that, yeah, if they're doing an announcement in March, then we're probably looking at end of summer for shows coming out.
Right. Are we advertising Big Macs? Are we sponsored by McDonald's now?
Of this network?
Yeah, because you've got Big and Mac in the same.
Oh, right. Yeah, got it on the feed, yeah. Well, no, if McDonald's would like to sponsor this show, then it's only £20,000 an episode. We'd be glad to sort you out. And, of course, there's a big show as well. That's only £15,000 an episode, though, because we haven't quite as many listeners.
Yeah, but the quality of the content, it's totally worth that.
It's like a Big Mac itself, isn't it, really? It's It's not particularly good for you, but it's tasty.
We get the host to dress up as Ronald McDonald.
Yeah. Let's shake down the clown for his pocket change, which would be more than enough to run the show.
We'd have to put a health warning on, though, in case anyone came along who was allergic to nuts. Moving on. Apple reports self-driving car disengagements to DMV. A disengagement report is when the car goes, nope, sorry, I'm not doing this anymore, and the driver has to take over, okay? So that's a disengagement report, and it tracks the number of times. So it's not just the first time or one time that you fill one report in. It could do it several times in a single journey. Apple has reported these more than any other self-driving vehicle. It's the worst rank for disengagement reports.
Is that bad? Okay, here's where I'm going with this.
Oh, come on, director of spin.
I mean, okay, so, I mean, seriously, if Apple released a car today, a self-driving car today, knowing that they had this disengagement report that's worse than anyone else's, I wouldn't want to let an Apple car drive me around. But at the same time, Apple is not as far into development as other companies, so maybe they're on track, and maybe they don't even care, because it may ultimately be that everything they're doing right now is to serve a different purpose. Yeah. So, if this is all about making AI better, then those disengagements probably have a lot of valuable data that Apple can use. And disengagements also include people deciding, screw this, I'm taking over, even when the car thinks it's doing fine.
I totally get the we need to find 2,000 ways to not make a light bulb Edison kind of thing, but when the light bulb's driving you around town.
Oh, it better be able to do it right.
Exactly. Well, point entirely.
So if Apple's plan is to seriously release a self-driving car, they better get this sorted out, because I wouldn't feel comfortable letting an Apple car drive me around today.
No.
Not that I could afford it.
Maybe they're just going to do the software for it. They're not really interested in producing a car.
I'm with you. I don't think a car with an Apple hood ornament is the end goal here.
It'd have to be white as well, wouldn't it? Or rose gold.
I was struck by the apple.
It could be space gray.
I was struck by the apple right between me plums.
With the body,
so you made a fruit salad.
Oh, mate, and a half. WD. Oh, right, okay. No, deep pans put. BTN, I'm loving it.
Oh, okay. The whole thing just clicked. I get what it now. Very funny.
Which one of those
commercials?
I'm loving it. Right. The apple and plums joke. WWDC is confirmed for 3rd to the 7th of June and back in San Jose again at the Billy Graham Memorial Center thing. Is it? The McHenry, that's it. Convention Center. Did you go last year, Jeff?
Yes, I did.
You were down there. Did you get conference tickets or did you just do the BARTS tour?
I just totally crashed everything.
Did you just walked in?
Yeah. Now I couldn't walk in to the WWDC event venue because the Apple people wouldn't let me in. But you know, there's AltConf, which is literally side to side. Like, they share a door. So I spent a lot of time there. And then there's LayersConf. And there's a couple other things that are going on.
Yeah.
So I was able to hang out with a lot of really cool people. It's, you know, if you don't have a ticket for WWDC, and you can go and you're interested in the sorts of things that are covered at that kind of event, it's worth going because all those side conferences are fantastic.
And there's beer.
And there's beer. Yep. And there's the Beard Bash, you know, Jim Dalrymple's party. Totally worth going to.
That does sound very Oscars, doesn't it? Jimmy Dalrymple's party. He's not as big as the Oscars, admittedly, but he's a big bloke.
Right, but he's more fun.
Muller's put that, it sounds like a wrestling event. Big Daddy, Big Bash.
Well, considering it's Jim Dalrymple, it very well could at some point involve wrestling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Apple has fired. So this was a story that came up in the week about Apple being at loggerheads over news publishing magazine subscription services with publishers. But then coming out on Wednesday, it said that Apple has reached an agreement with a paywall news content for magazines with a $9.99 fee in March. So you get all of these magazines for $9.99 a month. But the deal that they've struck, and it's as with all of these deals, it sounds like it was waiting on something to do with finance. They've got a 50% revenue split with the publishers. That's for Apple to give away, to gain 20% rather on that, to go from 30% for content up to 50% for content. There's going to be some seriously black-eyed editors out there, isn't there?
I'm thinking so. I mean, if you're hoping you're going to make it up in volume, then you need to talk to iOS developers who are charging 99 cents for an app and thinking that they're going to sell so many that they'll get rich anyhow.
And all that.
If you sell for a loss, it doesn't matter how much you sell, you're still selling for a loss.
So do you think at a 50% revenue split, they're making money, or do you think at a 30% revenue split, they were making a loss, and that's why they've argued it up to... No, because it's the other way around. Apple are getting
50. It would be the other way around.
Yeah, no, it's the other way around. No, these guys have totally been shagged.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, that link off, but they are saying that already. I don't think this is a done deal.
Apple is set to launch Apple News Service. So this is what they reckon is coming in March as well. And the thing is, so there's two things going off. We're going to talk about the media content thing in a second, the TV service. But the magazine service is according to the one that I saw on Wednesday on Mac Rumors, looks like a done deal.
Yeah, we don't have confirmation from Apple, but it sounds like there's enough sources that are backing up what's being said that it's very likely. You know, I don't like the idea of being dependent on Apple for your whole revenue stream, or at least a significant part of it. Because with this, I mean, you are really at Apple's mercy.
It's going to be different magazines. You know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to hack the magazine down. Loads of the articles are missing. If you want to see the real thing, you've got to go buy the high street copy.
Yeah, I just don't see this as something that's going to be a good deal for magazine publishers.
I don't think it's going to be a good deal for punters either, though, because they're going to get magazines which are seriously bought.
Yeah, I'm just Apple doesn't have a good track record with digital magazines anyhow. No. So why should I, as a consumer, feel like I'm going to get good magazines? Or at least good content.
Not a chance.
And as a publisher, why should I feel comfortable that this isn't just a scenario where publishers are Lando Calrissian and Apple is Darth Vader?
Okay, niche reference, but well done. Bob said, "I'm interested in the magazine subscription service." But then again, it might be a bit US oriented. And if you look at the magazines that they've got, they are, there's Elle and Vanity Fair and that kind of stuff. But Vanity Fair is very American oriented anyway. That's a risk. It's got Hello magazine, so that might be not the case. So I thought it was interesting. They've put a picture of Elle on here and they've missed the second L out. So it actually says ELE on it, which stands for Extinction Level Event. And I just think the serendipity of that may not be lost on magazine publishers.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Apple killed magazines. TV service coming. We talked about that. They're talking about having some celebs. Which celebs are they going to invite?
Probably celebrities that are in the shows.
How many celebrities have they not released nude images from their iPhone on in the Fappening? And then that'll give you the potentials that are coming, because there's no way they're bringing Jennifer Lawrence, is there?
I think that Kirsten, would actually be a brilliant move.
Kirsten Dunst, "Hi Apple, all is forgiven." Not that Apple did anything wrong, because they didn't. But
I think having Jennifer Lawrence there would be awesome, and I would.
Jennifer Lawrence is awesome, totally. Yeah. She could. Jennifer, if you're listening, you could come on this show anytime you damn well like, mate. There's an open seat for you, always. We think that. You're stunning. Yeah, if you know Jennifer Lawrence, she's great. Get in touch. Tell her you and says she'll know who I am. Deep Pan put a comment in earlier when we were talking about this before the show. We should definitely invite Jennifer Lawrence because we know she likes a plug. I think I might have just blown Jennifer Lawrence coming on the show right there. Maybe.
If it helps Jennifer, I have not seen any of the leaked photos. So,
well, do you want me to send them to you?
I can only infer what Deep Pin is referring to. And so, of course, I'm assuming that means you like publicity. How is that? Did that help?
No, I can't read that out, Deepan. Don't do that. Although, having said that, she's been nude in a few films of late, hasn't she? I'm thinking Red Squirrel. No, not Squirrel.
On the Graham Norton show, she's got quite, good sense of humour.
Yeah, she has. She comes across as a good laugh.
She seems to get drunk as well, which would help here.
Well, that's why. Well, that's why the pictures are out there, mate. For a start, surely.
It's never underestimate alcohol as a coping mechanism,
or a nickel loosener. Well, I'm thinking about photos. I wasn't talking about other things that are really inappropriate. Do we know the list of celebrities that are coming?
I don't think so.
We haven't got...
Jennifer Aniston, he's supposed to be one of them, isn't she?
Red Squirrel is apparently Red Sparrow. Sorry, my fault.
It would make sense for Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon to be there because they have several shows that they're involved with that'll be on Apple's network.
And they're not A-list.
Well, they were.
Well, they're not really A-list now, are they? But Apple's not short of cash. So you want a big shebang bonanza type thing, you're going to have... what's his face there from Jurassic Park? He's big at the moment, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, yeah.
Have one of the, get an Avenger there. Poof.
Yep, yeah. Have some Robert Downey Jr. Show up. He's good at entertaining a crowd.
You could have Robert Downey Jr. backstage in an Apple head face in thing on like Jarvis, an Apple oriented heads up display.
Isn't that like Frank? Remember the film Frank with the big false head on?
Yeah.
Be like that, couldn't it? Get Frank. Just get anyone could do that. Then you could just put it on Jeff. Jeff could go.
Okay.
So I just found an article on geek.com. I'll drop it into the chat room. And this article says that sources are saying Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. Right. Have been invited to come, so nailed it, and J.J. Abrams as well.
Oh, J.J.'s launching a thing, isn't he, for them?
Yeah,
wasn't he announced doing one of the shows? Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, that makes sense.
So is that the only three celebrities you got then? Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, and J.J. Abrams.
Well, the implication is that there are more. But these are the three names that they're dropping right now.
Sony Pictures executive Zach Van Amberg and Jamie Ehrlich.
Those are the guys that Apple hired to head up their TV and movie business.
An Apple spokesman did not respond to Bloomberg's request for comment. So they're not confirmed the event yet, but everyone's swearing it's blind. It's going to be March 25th.
Yeah, I think at this point, that's a pretty safe bet. It's really March 25th.
We've got a long time to sit and wait and not care.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to launch on that date anyway, is it?
No, they reckon it's months away after that. They've really done it.
And it'll be even longer for us because it won't come to Britain straight away.
Do you think it'll be a demo of Tony Stark trying to use Mobile Me? Get his photos back.
maybe. Or, you know, this could be an iTools revival. You never know.
Tools.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, I've still got the stuff at home for that.
Yeah, I probably have a iTools box somewhere with a CD, or was that Mobile Me where they started handing out the CDs? I don't remember.
Cool. Apple tweaks British and Australian speaking voices on the HomePod. Over the past 24 hours, this was written on Wednesday, we've seen a handful of reports talking about a new update to the speaking voice. These reports, mostly located in the UK and Australia, mention that British male and female and Australian male will speak voice of assistance, specifically on Apple's HomePod speaker. You've got a HomePod. Have you noticed it? Have you got a British bloke set up so that you can pretend you're British, Jeff?
I don't, but now I want to.
Yeah, well, you won't know the difference, though, will you? That's the thing.
No, it's... Okay, so if my HomePod sounds like you, Ewan, then I'm totally in. If it just sounds like some generic English accent, I want it to be you.
The British bloke sounds like such a wet lettuce. I just want to shake him into action. It's not a gay thing. It's not anything like that. It's not effeminate. He just feels like he wants to talk more than he wants to do. The voice does annoy me, actually. Someone's going to write in and go, I know who does the voice, and he's a really nice bloke, and I feel really bad now. But.
Well, all right. I'm going to change the voice on mine and see what happens. I'm curious if I see a bug that we had in the United States, if you used British or Australian voice, where it would do date math completely wrong. Because, you know, the United States we do our dates wrong.
Month. No, you do month, day, year, and we do day, month, year. Yeah.
Yeah. And day, month, year, that's like what everyone does, except the United States. So what was happening was people would set alarms and have the date in there or create an appointment for their calendar. And it would show up in the wrong month in the United States.
Well, see, there is a lot of people who go on about how the Americans have corrupted speech. And actually, when you look at a lot of the corruptions, they're not actually corruptions from America. They're corruptions from the rest of the world. So like the aluminum type thing versus aluminium type thing wasn't a corruption. It was to do with the way that no one actually bothered about the way that it was pronounced. And when they did need to, because the alum was produced, but then aluminium never came along until much later as a commercial production, all of a sudden the journalists needed to find out what it was. So they went to the relevant dictionaries, and the Merriam-Webster one, the Webster one, hadn't been updated the same way as the one that the UK had been done. So that one said aluminium, this one said aluminium, and that's the way that it stuck. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that that in terms of the way that we're talking about that, that could be the Americans did, because we've always said the March. We've always said March the 31st, March the 28th. We say that a lot in this country, whereas you go March 3rd, March 28th, that kind of thing, and that's where the thing came from. And that might be the way it originally came from, and we've corrupted it. So who knows? I love the picture on this. Sorry, Jeff.
Look at the... Oh,
go on.
Go ahead, please.
No, go on. You finish it. Go on.
All right. I'm glad that Apple is making these voice updates, because it's nice to see that Apple is remembering, at least occasionally, that there's a world beyond the U.S. borders.
Absolutely. A deep pan wants to know if there's an Irish voice on there, because then it would always sound like Friday.
I think there is an Irish voice.
I'd have Irish every single time.
There's probably a Northern Irish voice.
I was going to come out with a line that was turn right, and I can't say it though. I love the picture. Whoever it was thought, oh, I'll get a really great picture of the top of my HomePod, and then without realizing, they've got the ceiling fan in, they've got the camera there as well. They've not done a good job at all.
Isn't that funny? Okay, here's a bit of insider info for you.
Oh.
When I worked for Mac Observer, I was setting up all kinds of photos in my place for product shots and stuff. There is a HomePod shot that I did where it's totally isolated. So I had a white background, so I could get it good and clean. I intentionally set up the shot so that if you look at the disc, you know, the reflective disc on the top of the HomePod, you see this wine rack that I have. So what you're looking at are bottles of wine. And so I just put that out there, and I used it several times. They're still using the graphic.
Right.
And I don't know if anyone has ever noticed that there are these perfectly framed wine bottles reflecting in that HomePod graphic.
I'm going to have a look for that now.
Yeah, so keep an eye out, and when you see it, now you know.
Excellent. Good stuff. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by those fabulous people at tsohost.com. They are stunning. We would be lost without them. There is not a lot we can do to keep this podcast running without somewhere to host it, and they give us all of that. They're really fantastic. We are not asking you to buy everything that you ever want from them, although there is a BTN offer code. So any hosting services that you want to get from TSO Host, it's BTN20 in the offer code box, and that's it. You're off and running, 20% off your basket, a whole fifth disappearing straight away. No problem at all. But what they really, really want from you is brand recognition. So we need all of the BTN army to go out there, get on your social media as soon as you hear this podcast, stop what you're doing, type out, thanks to at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech. That's all you've got to do. Just simply do that and everything will be fine. They will love us for a lot longer and we will stay on the air, because if we lose them, I think we would probably fold, because we haven't got the money coming in to pay for all of that kind of stuff. Likewise, we've got the news show. That's funded by people who very kindly donate through the subscription service, britishtechnetwork.com/subscription. Or you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/britishtechnetwork, and give us a donation. And that pays for the news show every morning. Carl does that out in the Philippines, and he gets paid from the donations that we receive from people. Thank you very much for those people that do send stuff in. It's very kind, and we do put it to good use. We don't. Also, Wirecast, this thing here, brilliant. Love this. Love it to bits. Showed it to a person the other day, and they were like, wow, that's brilliant. It's a great piece of software, very versatile. I use it to 1/10 of its possible potential, or even less maybe. It's really powerful stuff. So please support them. And again, just go out and give them the brand recognition. Thanks to at Telestream for supporting at British Tech. And thanks to Hoya for providing me my glasses to do the shows in. I really appreciate them. And every day someone comes up to me and goes, I love them. Every day, one person at least comes up. Right, time for the cool things. Jeff, do you have a cool thing?
I do. And my cool thing, it's an iOS app, iPhone and iPad, and it's Prompt. And this is an app that I've been using for a long time, and it just deserves a shout out. So I do a lot of playing around with Raspberry Pi, and it, instead of having the Raspberry Pi connected to a monitor and using the keyboard and mouse connected directly to it, I SSH into my Raspberry Pi. So it's just headless sitting on a bookshelf, and I use Prompt to do it. And it is just a killer app. It works so well. And it's actually pretty awesome to sit there and work with my Raspberry Pi from the couch on an iPad. And I don't remember how much Prompt costs. It's I want to say it's like a $3 or $4 app,
right?
Whatever it costs, it's totally worth it. And you can save multiple servers so that you don't have to type in IP addresses every time. You just pick the right one, and it logs you in automatically. And you can customize how the display looks, and you know, just like you would expect from a terminal app. And it's just awesome. Prompt. I love it.
Yes. Good stuff, mate. Like that. I'll give that a go. Prompt. Muller, have you got a cool thing for us, or did it, cause we kind of jumped you coming on the show a little bit. Have you got anything you want to talk about, or you?
I've downloaded the Bing app for iOS, so I can continue to earn my rewards for Microsoft.
Did you have to Google it to find it?
actually, no. If you log in on Windows 10, they send you a link to your phone for you to download it. So,
all right.
So they just text you the link, and then you click on it, and it takes you straight to the iOS store. It's all right. It's it opens links. I mean, if you're not into Google, then you can try Bing instead. And if you log in with your Microsoft credentials, you get credit for all your searches.
Cool. I like that. I like that a lot. My cool thing is a program called Pro Writing Aid. And I'm going to show you a screenshot here that says that, do you want to install it on your MacBook? It's on my MacBook. I haven't got it installed on that. I've only got it installed on the Mac Pro. But Pro Writing Aid is a thing which corrects your grammar and your spelling and all the things that you'd expect. But I've got to say, it does it very well, and it's actually rejigged a couple of the sentences that I've put into it, and it's been like, oh, okay, yeah, that does work far, far better. So now if I'm typing an email, I just go straight into Pro Writing Aid, type in what I want to put, read it through, and it underlines stuff in either red for spelling mistakes, yellow for like a passive character and that kind of stuff, and then blue for grammar stuff. And it's seriously improved the wording I've got on emails. Being a dyslexic, it's pretty tough for me to try to get something to sound good. But Pro Writing Aid is absolutely brilliant. I cannot recommend it enough. It is brilliant. Just have it sat open all day next to me, and all my tweets, everything, I just go in there. And then I cut and paste it into the relevant thing and post it. What price is it? Don't know. Never bought it because it's part of Setup. So there's another reason to spend £9 a month on Setup, because it really is well worth every single penny. Pro Writing Aid. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
I am hanging out over at smilesoftware.com and textexpander.com. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamm at both places. And let's see, several podcasts, because I kind of get around. And just Google me. I'm easy to find.
Yeah, you're everywhere. Muller, where would you be, mate?
Muller Biker on Twitter. I'm in the Slack room. Instagram is Muller999. And that's about it.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Don't forget, we've got a Golf Clash clan. If you want to come and join it, just look out. It's the BTN clan. Join in with Golf Clash. We've got Mark, who's joined us this time. He's 1,700 rating. He's massive compared to the rest of us. And he's got us into the promotion zone for the clan. So we're going up this quarter, I think. So it'll be really, really good. You want to follow the network? It's at British Tech. We'll see you again next week on Friday. If it's not on Friday, it's not happening. And the big show starting at 8 o'clock, and we've got a packed house for that, so it's going to be a real good rollicking laugh. See you next week. Thanks for listening.